Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Dr. Jennings is joining us today via Skype. Come and Reason is an international ministry with a global outreach. So what are they globally outreaching? What are the beliefs that form the very foundation of this ministry's mission? Let's put those questions to the Come and Reason Ministries founder and director himself, Dr. Tim Jennings. Dr. Jennings, what's the motive behind your ministry?
Our goal is obviously to advance the kingdom of God, and we see God as the creator of reality, and thus, as we advance his kingdom, people will become ever more in harmony with how reality actually functions and works. And God is, as the creator, his laws are the laws upon which reality are built, and so we teach people those principles for living. He doesn't run his universe like Caesar runs Rome, so he is not a judicial magistrate following people around like a police officer with a radar gun, watching for any breach in the rules to inflict some type of punishment. That's completely fraudulent. We have a condition because of Adam in which we are sick and dying from it, and God is like our heavenly physician seeking to win us to trust so he can fix the damage within us and heal us to eternal life. So our goal at Come and Reason Ministries is to help people engage their God-given abilities to think, to reason, to discern, to understand reality, to make healthy choices and governance of themselves, and to then mature and grow in the full capacity of the abilities that they have been blessed with.
You have on your website, comeandreason.com, a resource that identifies many of the points that you try to spread around the world internationally. Would you share some of those points with us? Because we need to know what we can expect from Come and Reason, because you've made a statement many times that God is love. Prove it to us.
Well, I would like to highlight in the show today that we have a new resource for visitors or people who are new to our ministry. If you come to our website, on the homepage on our website, there is a link banner right at the very top of the page that says, not sure where to start? Click, tap if you're new to Come and Reason Ministries. Mm-hmm. And if you click that, it takes you straight to a page that says what we believe at Come and Reason Ministries. It gives a short synopsis of what I just kind of said, but then there's a long list of beliefs that we hold. And under each bullet is links to various resources on the site where people can get more information, more documentation, more explanation. Mm-hmm. And the first belief that we hold paramount above all is God is love. Yes. And then if you want to know what that means, you click the link and we go on to describe what that love looks like. It's not a human type of namby-pamby, momentary, up-and-down type love when things are going well. It is the self-sacrificial, eternal, constant love that emanates and originates in the character and heart of God, and it ultimately becomes an operational principle upon which our Creator built reality to operate. And so God is love is the first bullet. The second bullet is God is Creator, and God built reality to operate in harmony with himself. Thus, the very protocols or laws upon which reality operate will always be in some way a expression of love, how love works. And love is beneficent. It's giving. It's other-centered. And so one simple example, but there's many of these. We have these on our website, and you can find them if you look up the design laws of God. But one of them is the law of respiration. It is a law that if you want to live, you have to breathe. But when you breathe, you give away carbon dioxide to the plants, and the plants give oxygen back to you, which is a never-ending circle of giving that life is actually constructed or built to operate upon. Now, as a free, intelligent, moral agent, you are free to transgress that law. People have chosen to do that, and we've heard stories. People can tie a plastic bag over their own head and separate themselves from that circle of giving and break the law of respiration and hoard their carbon dioxide, which is an act of selfishness to themselves rather than love and giving. But the wages of that is death, and that's what the Bible really teaches, and that's what God's kingdom teach. When you break God's design laws, you separate yourself from the very foundation that life is built to operate upon. And the only outcome is pain, suffering, and ultimate death, unless the Creator restores us back to harmony with how he built the universe to operate. And that means putting his law in us. That's why the new covenant is, I'll write my law in your hearts and minds. He restores us back to healthy living. And so the whole mission of Come and Reason Ministries is to help people learn how to cooperate with God for the healing and restoration of their being.
You know, I like to Facebook and social media and whatnot. I enjoy interacting with people. And I've noticed, Dr. Jennings, a very definite line separating two groups of people, especially in the Christian realm, those who believe one way about God, those who believe another way about God. And I see reaction to things I've said on social media about how we need to love everyone and provide civil rights for everyone and for the people of color and marginalized people and gay people and all the people of the world, how we need to try to reach them and comfort them and love them. And other people say, no, wait a minute, no, those are sinners. Those are abominations. We don't deal with those. What do you have on your site that will help me understand my job as a Christian to reach all people?
I've never heard anybody ever get offended or argue, at least from a Christian perspective, about needing to minister the gospel to people and bring people to conversion and salvation. Mm-hmm. I've never heard people say, no, those are sinners. We don't want to convert them. The whole gospel mission and commission is to go out and bring sinners to Christ for salvation. Mm-hmm. Civil rights are things that people fight for through human governments. Human governments are not of God's world. Uh-huh. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he said, if it were, my followers would fight. We don't fight the systems of this world. No. We fight the prince of the power of darkness through, it says in 2 Corinthians 10 through 5, though we live in the world, we don't wage wars. The world does. The weapons we use are not worldly. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish every pretension and argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to Jesus Christ. We wage a war for hearts and minds to win them to loyal love to Jesus Christ so that they give up the methods and principles of the world which seek to pass laws and coerce and force other people to behave the way we want so that we instead win people to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and neighbor as yourself. And when people live that way, you actually don't have to pass laws on equality, because we love everybody more than ourselves, and we treat everybody as we would like to be treated. When people love others, as God designed us for love others, do you actually have to have a law? If you really love others as God loves us, love others as yourself, do you have to have a law that says, do not murder them?
No, not at all.
You would never do it.
No.
Do you have to have a law that says, do not steal from them? You would never do it. Do you have to have a law that says, do not bear false witness to ruin their reputation to get them fired from the job? Well, no, you're rejoicing, you're celebrating, you want them to get promoted. You wouldn't do it. You'd protect their reputation, and so on and so on. So when we actually have God's law written in the heart, there's no need for external governments to police behaviors that we find offensive because those behaviors don't exist. And if you try to advance a kingdom through human law and legislation, you only incite injustice and cause more divisions in society. This is why Jesus on earth again said his kingdom was not of this world. He did not come to set up an earthly kingdom. He came to restore the kingdom of God in the hearts and minds of people. And if you look at what was happening in the world in which Jesus walked this earth, that was the Roman world. And there was active slavery going on. There were the gladiatorial fights. There were abuses and human rights violations everywhere. And there was a form of a republic and representative government that they seek to get different senators in power at Rome to pass new laws, to give new rights to the citizens and so forth and so on. Did he seek to empower the Jewish soldiers to fight against the Roman powers and fight for freedom from that government, which is what the Sanhedrin and the Barabbas and others were doing? No. It doesn't mean that because he wasn't using the methods of the world that he was colluding with the world. And this is one of the traps of Satan. If you don't join and use the methods of the world to become political, to get your political power so that you can pass laws and force other people to do what you want, and if you don't go to war to fight for liberties to kill people, then you are supporting the enemy. The only way to fight for God's kingdom is to become like the enemy and use the very same systems the enemy uses. This is the big trap. The true Christian gospel message is to convert the hearts and minds to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, that you might be sons of your Father who's in heaven.
Let me ask you a personal question. What is the foundation belief that you have on that list that means the most to you, that touches your heart in the most powerful way?
The truth of God's character of love, mm-hmm. and how we understand God's character is always determined by how we understand God's law. Mm-hmm. As soon as a person accepts the lie that God's law, even a portion of it, functions like human law, made up rules, requiring judicial oversight and enforcement of punishment, as soon as they accept that idea, then the way they conceive of God is the cosmic enforcer and the punisher, and therefore God in justice is the source of inflicted death for sin, and the plan of salvation is to assuage or propitiate or do something to God so that he doesn't legally have to kill us. That is paganism, and that has infected the church. The true gospel message is God is not like that. That God is the creator. He is the source of life, not the source of death. His laws are the laws that emanate from his own character, and reality and health and life are built upon. And deviations from his law, transgression of the law, the wages of sin, not the punishment of God, mm-hmm. is death. Sin, when full grown, brings forth death, Galatians 6:8. It is from sin and breaches of the law that cause our pain, suffering, and death. And life is only found in God's agencies through Jesus Christ working to restore us in harmony with him and his law, writing his law in our hearts and minds. And that's how reality functions.
You weren't born thinking this way, Dr. Jennings. You, little Timothy Jennings running around as a toddler or a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, what happened that got you thinking, wait a minute, this isn't right. There's something is wrong with the way people look at God. What event took place in your life that changed you?
I became a physician and I had to treat people. Mm-hmm. And you can't treat people by giving them a list of rules. You actually have to understand the laws of health, which are the laws reality operate upon. And then you have to identify where they're out of harmony with those laws. And then you bring interventions to restore them back into harmony with how the life works. That's the only way you can heal. And that's true on a spiritual plane as well. The only way God heals us is to restore us back into harmony with the laws he built reality to operate upon, including the moral laws.
So when you go about your work as a physician, as a psychiatrist, you always have in the back of your mind that concept that what I have to do here is to show this person, to demonstrate to this person, to educate this person into the true character of God. Is that what I hear you saying?
No, some people are not open to have a conversation about God. Mm. What you hear me saying is that I'm always working to restore the person in harmony with the laws that health and life operate upon.
Even though they may not be understanding what you're doing.
We may never have a conversation about God or the Bible. Okay. We may have a conversation about sleep or diet or exercise. These are all still design laws of how reality functions. We have a discussion about how they need to forgive the person who wronged them because their bitterness and anger is causing inflammatory cascades and interfering with their sleep and harming themselves. And to have health, they need to let that bitterness and anger go. It doesn't mean what happened was right, but to hold on to it only causes them more pain and suffering. We may have to have a conversation about loyalty and faithfulness because they're cheating on their spouse and they can't have a healthy relationship if they continue to cheat. All these principles of God we bring to bear, but we may never have a conversation about God.
What a beautiful illustration for a Christian witness as well. We need to share love. We don't have to tie it into any particular denomination. We don't have to tie it into any set of doctrines. We just have to demonstrate it. Am I right in saying that?
That's exactly right. The principles of God bring life and health.
This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Dr. Timothy Jennings has been our guest today via Skype. Dr. Jennings, thank you as always for sharing with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Tim Jennings wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.